City Limits is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media and is made possible thanks to generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation and the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
For too long, marginalized communities have been the victims of racial injustice. Stories left untold.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Problems left unchanged and promises left unfulfilled.
We're marching to be seen, we are marching to be heard, and we continue to march for change.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits, Winds of Change. I'm Katie Zolkowski. The estimated $2 billion I-81 project has a chance to not only physically reshape the Syracuse community, but advocates highlight that it can also be a tool for racial justice. The initial bill destroyed the 15th Ward. The community, labeled by city leaders as slum, was home to 90% of Syracuse's Black population and many Black-owned businesses.
There were people like Miss Gray, who had a boarding house, and the Freemans, who used to do the home repair, and then the first African-American funeral home in this community was in the 15th Ward. So I think that if we're able to remember that and remind people of that, those are the kind of things that we should be putting back in the neighborhood.
David Rufus is the New York Civil Liberties Union I-81 project coordinator and former resident of the 15th Ward.
My family has been impacted by those elements that have been raining down on us for generations. I have family members with lung disease and asthma and emphysema and those kinds of things that are directly involved in I-81 highway. And I have people now that live there that cleans their walls daily from the soot that is coming from the highway. So there's some difficult things that are going on. But I think the elements that are most important is remembering that these are people, and we need to try to make sure that the DOT does the right thing by people.
Syracuse is one of the most segregated cities in the country, and the geography of that segregation traces the viaduct. It's evidence of how the racist housing policies in place at the time of the initial build remain a destructive force. Now, the New York State Department of Transportation wants to replace the viaduct with a community grid, and its proposal is in front of the Federal Highway Administration. A public comment period on the final proposal is expected in the near future. That will be a time that NYCLU's Lanessa Chaplin says needs to center the voices of the community that was decimated by the highway when it was first built.
To understand that 90% of Syracuse's Black population was displaced, lost wealth, that they are still recovering from just 55 years later. Putting it into that context for me brings it home that these are people's lives and these are individuals who are personally impacted. And so when we're looking at concentrations of poverty now, how come people aren't lifting themselves up by their bootstraps? But they had the rug ripped from under them just a short time ago. And the Department of Transportation created that problem. They funded that problem through government-backed policies. And so what we are saying now is, you created the problem. You have to be a part of the solution.
The effects of Interstate 81 permeate through the community to this day. Residents who live in viaduct-adjacent neighborhoods experience higher rates of poverty and have greater exposure to air and noise pollution. Chaplin says the community is focused on current barriers in their daily lives. It's hard to engage with and trust a system that has repeatedly ignored you in the past.
A lot of folks who aren't participating in this process is because they've been burned or they've learned from their parents or grandparents that their voice doesn't matter. And so there has to be that additional push in that community to say, no, your voice does matter now. Because during the original bill, they did protest. They did write their common counselors. They slept outside the city courthouse, right? 24-hour protest. Their common counselor at the time spoke up. They did fight this thing, and it still happened.
Chaplin and Urban Jobs Task Force President Deka Dantzel wrote a letter to the editor in the South Side Stand, urging residents to keep the I-81 project on their radar and be involved with the process. But asking for the energy of this community is a balance.
I think the concern really comes in with oversaturating the community with this issue when there are much more pressing issues.
As Lanessa said, people are focused on survival. It's a pandemic right now. I understand it's something that's going to impact their life, but they're focused on the next day. People who have income security and different kinds of securities, we can really focus and plan long term. And again, I'm saying that knowing based off experience. As a person who grew up in extreme poverty and it just escaped the clenches of poverty about 5 years ago myself, it's very hard to get into this kind of planning and strategy work when you're still living in poverty.
People across the country are having conversations about making spaces more equitable following a summer that put a magnifying glass on racial inequality in America. For Syracuse, the Interstate 81 project is an ever-approaching opportunity to implement real change. But fulfilling that potential requires much more than talk from local leaders, but real commitment and action. Many aspects of the project remain up in the air, and advocates are pushing for justice and opportunity during this time to make sure the community along the viaduct directly benefits. Deca Dansel is leading the charge to ensure local residents benefit from the myriad jobs that will come with construction.
So we had local leaders going around saying, well, this is going to be a job changer for Syracuse. This is going to be, you know, big for jobs. We're going to have a whole bunch of jobs, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is going to bring economic opportunity, but for whom? So that was upsetting to hear because we knew before we did a study, we knew our Syracuse City residents, especially minorities, were not a part of the construction trade. So they weren't going to be getting any of those jobs. So what I'm saying is if they were to do this project tomorrow, very few city residents would work on the project. What we found in our 18-month long research study, it was a racial equity impact statement that we did with legal services, was that our construction trade industry is largely made up of white males who do not live in the city of Syracuse.
Syracuse has established the Syracuse Build Program as a way to counteract this gap. A big table discussion happened last year in the fall, and another one is anticipated this spring that includes Urban Jobs Task Force, NYGLU, elected leaders, heads of labor unions, and others. But Dansel says this is just the beginning.
We're still at the beginning of the process, so it took probably maybe 3 years to get us to the point where these people are just even sitting at a table to say, hey, this is going to be a big opportunity. But just because we all are sitting around that table does not mean that we are going to have the desired outcome.
If a community benefit agreement or project labor agreement is put in place, it could help provide sustainable careers for the community long after the I-81 project ends. Dansel says decision makers need to provide funding and actively work to create accessible training programs for city residents. Another focus is on creating a relocation plan during construction for residents who live right next to the highway. Lanessa Chaplin points out the state DOT has said in its preliminary draft that no one will be displaced during construction, but that doesn't seem realistic.
Now, anyone who has lived in Syracuse Public Housing or has visited or has frequented that neighborhood understands how close the residents actually live to the viaduct. And looking at that closeness really raises a lot of hairs to folks to say, well, how am I going to survive and live if I'm just 3 feet away from a major construction project for 4 to 7 years, right? First, it starts with this. We're asking the Department of Transportation to do a cumulative impact assessment, which means find out what the health of the residents are in that neighborhood.
So they haven't done any of
this? They have not done that, right? Okay. They can tell you the health of the dirt, they can tell you the health of the air, but we wanna know, what is the health of the people who live there? What is the health of the people who live there? And if they are high risk, the Department of Transportation should be creating a plan for them to be able to move into equitable or better housing during construction.
Public policy in the United States has long enabled governments to displace communities of color for new development. The nonprofit Blueprint 15 recently received $1 million to prevent displacement that could be caused by the new I-81 project. NYCLU's David Rufus says there needs to be equitable treatment.
You know, when it comes to Black and brown people, there tends to be this it's okay to disrupt their lives. Mm-hmm. It's okay to change the way that they live. It's okay to dig up their culture, their community, and displace them. It's okay to destroy the things that they love and that they care about. And so displacement isn't a big concern. Disruption is not a big concern.
And the question extends beyond how do we care for the people who will be impacted by construction and to how will they benefit once construction is done.
The community is saying, I don't know if I want to live here during construction. What I do know is I want to come back to my neighborhood. And we've been hearing that unanimously throughout our work. No one wants to move. I don't know who these people are that want these Section 8 vouchers. I'm sure they exist, like Deca said. That hasn't been our experience. People have been living there for generations, and their families live there, and they want to remain there. They feel safe in their neighborhood. And what we're asking the Department of Transportation to do is bind that land to the community through a community benefits agreement. Do they want to put small mom and pop businesses? Do they want to put homes? It's up to them to figure out what they want to do, but let them build back the wealth. And so let them start to create pathways out of poverty and not just subsidies to remain in poverty.
Chaplin said this project is a marathon, and it seems like the next leg is beginning. Comments and conversation by local leaders seem to have energy aligning with the work of Chaplin, Dansel, Rufus, and other community organizers. But talking about doing it and doing it are different.
All the powerful players all agree that the community grid is the best option. It just kind of heightens our awareness that we have to make sure that the marginalized people who live there, who don't have the political power, who don't have the financial backing, aren't lost in this larger development to bring Syracuse out of a deficit.
Still, it's expected the project won't break ground for a little over a year. Governor Andrew Cuomo said in his State of the State he's planning for 2022. Syracuse Mayor Ben Walsh recently met with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg about the I-81 project. The federal government will provide a majority of the funding. Walsh says they have similar visions for the future of the roadway and want to use it as an opportunity to benefit the most negatively affected communities. Whether Interstate 81 is used as a way to heal some of the racial inequity in the city or repeat the past will depend on the decisions made this coming year. For City Limits Winds of Change, I'm Katie Zolkowski.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.